Well, Steve, good to chat with you. You know, I always enjoy being on the show, and I know everyone's excited because they're going to play some Big Ten football. And I didn't know today was the first day for testing and everything, but good for them.
Yep, and that's the next step. Now, we know in testing what happened with Tennessee. One of them is former Nittany Lion Daquan Jones, who was put on the COVID-19 list. He's one of the three players. So what about the postponement? What does that do? It's not this week, but what does that potentially do for the week after for the Steelers?
Well, you know, one, it's going to depend on when they play, Steve, whether it's going to be Monday or Tuesday. I would imagine the league would prefer to do it on Monday rather than, you know, shorten the week extremely for the Steelers and the Titans the following week. That would be two short weeks then for the Titans. But I will tell you that if anybody watched an NFL practice during the regular season, they would realize it's not very grueling. And so a short week would probably actually be welcome by some of the veterans, even though I know it's still early in the season and they haven't had preseason games. But it wouldn't present a big hardship. And you know what? I mean, Mike Tomlin always preaches to the guys. He likes to use the expression, be light on your feet. And they're going to have to be light on their feet this week to adapt, even though they get an extra day. And next week, they'll be light on their feet if they get one or two fewer days. And they'll handle it, and it'll be fine. And people will probably want to make it an issue. But trust me, if you go watch the practice and you realize how many veterans get the first day off, it won't be an issue at all.
This is also a league that plays Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. So, I mean, even though mentally you know going into a week what it's supposed to be, they've done short weeks or longer weeks often during the course of their careers anyway, especially the veterans.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And playing a Thursday night game after a Sunday game is even more difficult than this would be. So I will tell you this, though, too, Steve. The one thing the league does not want to do is they do not want to reschedule this game for October 25th, which was mentioned as a scenario by people because it would have been easy to do because it involved it was an open date for the Titans. They could have played there. Steelers could have moved their game with Baltimore to the following week because each of them had the same bye week, November 1st. But the last thing the league wants to do is start rescheduling future games because this is just one instance, and while it was convenient, it could have been convenient, what happens if this happens two, three, four more times? And then all of a sudden you're trying to reschedule games for the future, and then teams saying, well, you did it for them, why don't you do it for us? Well, it doesn't work that way. And that's right. The last thing they want. Now you're really interfering with their scheduling and delaying things. And you know, the reality in this situation, Steve, is I know this is a global problem and certainly a societal problem, but in this instance, it's the Titans' problem. And you know, even Ben Roethlisberger mentioned this today. Not that he blamed them, but, you know, this is incumbent on every player and every team in the league, but every player to be diligent about what they do. And if one of the Titans players or coaches weren't diligent about what they did or where they went, well, they're going to pay the price for it. And this could be it. And so, you know, the league isn't going to say, okay, you have this problem, we're going to reschedule your game. They knew this going in. It's been said to them since the preseason about how to, you know, try and take care of yourself, protect your team, protect your teammates, and that this didn't happen. The league's not going to give them a pardon and say, no, okay, we'll reschedule your game. No, they want them to play this week, and that's why they went to the expanded practice squad. That's why they put six veterans on the practice squad for these exact instances.
Exactly. That was actually the point I made about the baseball season with the Cardinals and the Marlins. I mean, why do you have all those players, 30-some-odd players, sitting for, in the Cardinals' case in Springfield? What, you're just going to let them sit there?
They know, Steve, that this problem could have happened, and it's remarkable when you think that since August 28th, I believe, they've administered, I can't remember the number, whether it's like 40,000 tests, and they've had like eight positives among the players. It's incredible that there's been so few, but that's because they've been very, very careful. They had a laid-out plan, what they wanted to do, and I commend them for their plan. It's worked to this date. Yeah. I expect it to continue working. Are there going to be some hiccups? Yes. But they are prepared to deal with it.
And, of course, I'm used to when we started out, I mentioned college football. College football starts the season. They go. The NFL has had preseason games, and it's been more and more limited over time as to how many snaps veterans get in those games. But what have you thought about the level of play, considering that game one was game one, and that's where they started?
You know, to be honest, Steve, I thought it would actually be a little sloppier than what we've seen. I thought there would be a lot more penalties than what we've seen. And maybe the officials are a little rusty and a little sloppy. But now the Steelers were penalized last week quite a few times. Not this past Sunday, the second game against the Broncos. But their first game and last week's game, they were barely penalized. So I just thought it would be more like the second game. You'd see more pass interference, more holdings. And there have been very few of those, and there have been very few false starts. So what I was expecting and the level I've seen are two different things. Now, is Ben a little rusty and trying to get a little more comfortable? Yeah, and he admits it. But you know what? If Rusty is throwing seven touchdown passes and one interception, then I think he'll take Rusty and uncomfortable. So, you know, they're 3-0, and it doesn't matter who they beat. They're 3-0, and that's going to happen. That's going to happen in an NFL season. The bottom line is, if you're a good team, Steve, you beat the teams you're supposed to beat. In those years when the Steelers have missed the playoffs, they haven't beaten the teams they're supposed to beat, which to me means they're not a good team. The good teams take care of their business, and that's what the Steelers have done the first three games.
Exactly right, because the NFL doesn't do a poll. I mean, they look at it, they go, you're 3-0, you're in first place. That's what they do.
As our friend Tom Bradley once told me, this isn't a prom date. You're just trying to win the game.
That's exactly right. And one of the great football philosophers ever, by the way.
Yes, sir. Bradley. Yes, he is.
All right, so we talked about level play, and you mentioned Ben Roethlisberger in there. Sometimes presence, it's a loose word. It can be a vague word. But if you're around it enough, you know it. What does his presence just mean to what they're doing offensively?
Well, two things. His presence among his teammates is a comfort level. It's a trust level. It's knowing that your guy has been in every situation and succeeded. It's knowing that your guy has won championships. And his presence on the other side of the ball means they can't gang up to stop the run and dare Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges to beat you. Because they have the same respect for the guy. They know what he's done, whether it's game-winning drives or winning playoff games or winning championships. So his presence goes on both sides of the ball and to the opponent's side of the ball as well. And having him in that huddle, you know, he has seen everything. They know he can run the no huddle. They trust him. And it's just implicit. You see the connection he has with Juju Smith-Schuster. You know, and so I've always believed, Steve, I've always subscribed to the theory that good wide receivers don't make a quarterback better, but good or great quarterbacks make wide receivers better.
Yes.
And Ben being in the game and being around, his presence in that huddle makes all the difference in the world.
There's another part, too, Jerry, and we've talked about this before, but teams sometimes, in fact, most of the time, they play offense to what their defense is, or they play defense to what their offense is. Because the Steeler offense has more efficiency and more punch to it, are you seeing the Steeler defense maybe take a chance or two that maybe they wouldn't have taken in the past when they knew they couldn't move the ball offensively?
Well, here's the funny part about that question, but relative to your question. Last year, when they lost Ben Roethlisberger, they knew when they had Mason Rudolph, they had a goal that were probably going to have to limit the opponent to 17 points a game. Then, when Rudolph went out and Duck Hodges went in, then they refocused and said, "Okay, now we have to hold the opponent to 14 points a game," because they knew what they're dealing with—two quarterbacks who had never played in an NFL game. Well, that goes out the window with Ben, because now your defense knows you have an offense that could come back and score. But the funny part about that is, despite that, Steelers led the league in sacks and they led the league in takeaways last year, and they only had the lead in 16 of 64 quarters. Typically, right, Teams that lead the league in sacks and takeaways are teams that play with the lead and teams that could take chances. And yet here were the Steelers playing from behind. What's the math on that? 75% of the time last year, still had the type of defense that could be aggressive and take the ball away. So in normal circumstances, I would agree that's the case. Last year, the Steelers were the antithesis of that. They took the ball away and played aggressive sacking defense despite always trailing.
Monday night, the Ravens played the Chiefs. And if you go back and look at the last two losses the Ravens have, there's a distinct pattern to each one. They fell behind in each one. Tennessee, got on top of them. And then the Chiefs got on top of them. Because of what the Steelers have done, are they more capable of now doing that? Because it seems to be because of the style of play with the Ravens, because they do love to run the football and eat the clock. And they don't appear to be a great comfort behind team. What does that do now for that matchup down the road with the Steelers' ability to maybe play with a lead instead of doing what you just talked about, trying to play from behind?
Well, I think that would give them a great advantage or a great boost when playing the Ravens. I will say this. They've done a representable job against Lamar Jackson, and I can tell you this as well, Steve. Their defensive coordinator and their defensive staff, their priority number one in the offseason was figuring out how to limit and contain Lamar Jackson. I mean, that's the team in front of them. You know, they believe to get anywhere in the playoffs, you have to be able to get out of your division, and right now getting out of your division means beating the Baltimore Ravens and stopping Lamar Jackson. So that was a big focal point for them in the offseason. And I think you have seen the one advantage when you're talking about, say, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. And I really like Lamar Jackson. He's a better thrower than I thought. I think he's darn near unstoppable. But the difference between Mahomes and Kansas City is Kansas City gets down 14 or 21 points. They're not out of the game. That guy can bring you back from any deficit. Whereas Lamar Jackson's, his abilities, not so much his abilities, but how he can hurt you now is taken away because the element of the run is taken away and he has to go back and throw. And that's not to say he's a bad thrower. He's not Patrick Mahomes when it comes to throwing the football. So, yes, the key to the Ravens is trying to get on top of them. If you're playing even with them or behind, they're really difficult because of Lamar Jackson.
One last question. I'm going to ask this about Bud Dupree. Everybody develops on their own clock. You and I know that. It's everyone wants to assign success or failure after one or two years. So on his clock, what's allowed him to then start to blossom into what we're seeing right now?
You know, Steve, go back, say, 2 years. The Steelers really liked what Bud Dupree did. Probably more so than the fans, because the fans don't see the sacks. They don't see the finished plays. They see a guy running upfield and running himself out of the plays. But the coaches, the head coach, the general manager didn't see that. The defensive coordinator didn't see that. They liked what Bud did. And last year, he finished plays. I think it helped when they switched sides for him. Flip-flopped he and T.J. Watt. Bud played himself into a nice franchise tag number this year, almost $16 million. Ideally, the Steelers would probably like to franchise him one more year. They were never going to sign him to a long-term deal, Steve. They just can't, because that money is going to go to T.J. Watt. And Bud knows that. But now with a reduced salary cap next year, which is all but a foregone conclusion, it's going to be hard to put the franchise tag on him again for another $16 or $17 million, especially when they want to do T.J. Watt, Juju Smith-Schuster's up, James Conner will be up. So that's going to be difficult to do. But Bud has always been a freakish player. He's a big man, physically strong, and can run, and very athletic. And he just, you know, he's one of those guys that it just started to put it all together and learn how to play with some controlled fury, if you will. And he's been a force on that defense. There's no question.
Jerry, always a pleasure. Really appreciate it so much. All my best to you and your family, and hope your daughter's doing well up at Penn State.
Well, Steve, she is, and I don't know if your producer told you this or not, but I was actually in your town just a little bit ago to visit my daughter. So I was up in State College, drove past the stadium, and I thought, oh, I'd like to see some people in there.
Yeah, so would I.
I'm sure you would.
And at some point, by the way, I can't wait to see you. So I appreciate the time you gave us.
You got it, brother. Always good chatting with you, Steve.